And if you will, can you turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 8? Romans chapter 8. And again, we're going to go over the issues here of our sanctified lives and the whole idea of when Paul is beseeching us as saints. And he's beseeching us, and it's pretty much as he's coming along saying, you're not just going to stand there just justified, are you? There's more to it. There's God wants you to live on to him. You are being beseeched. You are a debtor to live on to the Spirit, be led by the Spirit. And we're going to see that here. Come to verse 12 in Romans chapter 8 here. Romans chapter 8, let's look at verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Now, at the outset here, in verse 12, it says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors. When you're looking at the word debtors, and we went over this, we've covered this issue before here about being a debtor, being you're indebted to someone or something when you are spoken of being a debtor. And Paul says, we're a debtor not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. In other words, if you're not a debtor to the flesh, you must be a debtor to the Spirit, as Paul's going to later on explain that issue, that's your motivating factor there to understand who you are indebted to and why. And it's going to give you the issue of because you're a debtor, this is what you have as an inheritance. This is what he's going to explain all the glories that you do have in Christ. It says in verse 13, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, and what Paul is going to explain is that for us to be a son of God, we have to be ones who are living after being led by the Spirit. And being led by the Spirit is you being led by the Word of God in truth, not based upon what you might think is truth or what this world says is truth, but actually what God's Word says to you in this dispensation of Gentile grace that you live in. And again, we're here at the outset here. We're here at the verse 16 is where we are basing our focus upon. But when you're looking at this, when it says the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit, and we took a look at it last week on the whole details of what Paul means when Paul says the spirit of adoption or the led by the Spirit of God and things of that nature, and the whole issue of crying out of Father and things of that nature. So we looked at that, and now when you come to the point where you're seeing it says the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. Now, how does that happen? How does that take place there? And when you're looking at that, you see that it takes place because when Paul says the Spirit itself, he's looking at the issue of that justifying nature, the confirming that our spirit is justified. We are justified, and the Spirit of God, God's Word, confirms that. There's a confirming, and we're going to look at some verses that show that there. But why does it say the Spirit itself and not the Spirit himself? And, you know, some people have different Bibles, and they correct that issue, and they put himself, and they feel that it shouldn't say itself, but it actually should, because what it does, when it says the Spirit itself, that refers to a standalone authoritative title. And it's a standalone title that can only be used to describe someone whose title not only differs from any other title, but it differs from any other comparison. It's supposed to be viewed as a standalone reference to someone. And to give you a little example, when children play tag, they say, you're it. You know, you're the only one, you stand alone from them. And that's why you see it when it says itself. And it's proper that the King James translators use itself to identify the Spirit. So I just had to throw that in there because some have asked me about that question there. Now, let's turn your Bibles back to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, and we're going to look at about the Spirit bearing witness with our spirit, which is the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Romans chapter 3, and let's look at verse 24. Romans 3, verse 24. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, and that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is the boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we can conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. And again, what we're looking, we're seeing how the Spirit bear witness with our spirit. And when you see in verse 25 here, well, actually verse 24 shows, it says that being justified freely by his grace through redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And that's the truth. That's the truth. And when you get to verse 25, it says, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. And you see declare, to declare, when you declare something, you count it to be true. It's being confirmed. You bear witness. And it says to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. Next verse, to declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Verse 28, therefore, we can conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Now, when you see this issue here, you see in verses 25 and 26, it says to declare. And that's what the Spirit is doing. It declares it. Verse 28, we conclude, like Paul says, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith. Now, that's how the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit. It's not saying the Spirit beareth witness to your spirit, but it bears witness with it. We also confirm that. We also count that to be true, that this is of a truth. Now, let's take another look at this issue here about being heirs of God. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5. And, you know, that is what the issue is, that once we become justified, and I don't think anyone has a problem with that, that understands about justification, that you are an heir of God and you are a son of God because you are an heir. Because you've been justified, you are the household of God, and that's not an issue. And we're going to do a little bit of confirming that here in Galatians chapter 5, and let's look at verse 16. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another, so that ye could not do the things that you would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lavishness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now you see the things referred there, and do you see the difference where this is saying that there's some that will not inherit the kingdom of God? But contrary teaching around the world, we see people teach that if you were to do one of these things, being saved, you can lose your salvation. And they'll bring you to this verse over here, or they'll bring you to the one over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and they'll give you a list of those things that they see. You do these things, you're going to go to hell. Well, that's not what this verse is explaining, that in Romans chapter 8, it says you are an heir of God. You are an heir based upon justification, based upon the Spirit beareth witness. The Spirit can testify that you are just and an heir of God, regardless what someone else teaches. They'll say once saved, always saved is not true. Well, again, that's what man's wisdom teach. But we have the Holy Spirit, that the Spirit bears witness with you that you are justified based upon the justifying doctrine. And when you stand alone, stand in Christ, stand in him based upon what you trust in. But what we see here in Galatians chapter 5, he's talking about ones who never trusted, who do these things and they live on, and they don't think they need a savior. They don't think they're doing anything wrong. They justify themselves based upon what they do, whether it's any one of these things. It can be drunkenness. It could be murder. Whatever. They'll say, "Well, I do this because I have issues or problems," or they could be one who's a hitman. He feels he has to feed his family. But they all come up with their own way of justifying themselves, and they don't feel they need a redeemer. So no, those that do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now let's read on to verse 22 here. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. And see, looking at this, when you live in the Spirit, see, that puts the power of the cross and what it accomplished on display. And what it does is it teaches that not only are we just by what the cross accomplished for our justification, but also we've come to understand the cross not only accomplished that, it also accomplished sanctification for us also. That's the purpose. And let's come take a look at that, and we're going to come back here. Let's come, while you're in Galatians, come over to chapter 4 there. Galatians chapter 4. Let's take a look at an issue here that we looked at last week there. In speaking of this issue, what the cross accomplished, let's look at Galatians chapter 4. Let's look at verse 4. Galatians 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Now, what I'm after there is verse 5, which says to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. This tells you here that God didn't just send forth his Son just to save our souls. That's not the only issue. It's that we might receive the adoption of sons, that we may live unto him the way God designed. That's where the power is. That puts the power on display. And, you know, when you're looking at the way people display power today, the power of God, when you see movies, for instance, or the way some people do in their sanctified lives to put God's power on display, that's not the way God would have his word to be shown as power. And I'll give you a little example. When you're looking at movies, you have some that would have, they'll show whenever there's evil around, they have someone with a cross to ward off evil or to hold the Bible up. That's not how the power of God is put on display. There's no power in the actual material of it. It's in his word. Or some would have Bibles in the back of their car to give them what they call a traveling grace, as if the Bible that was purchased from the bookstore or wherever it was purchased from is going to actually, there's actually some holiness or power in the material. And actually, that can be so far from the truth. Because if you take the Bible away from someone, you should be able to still see that word living through them. They should be a living epistle, whereas they have the living word of the living God living within them, allowing God's word to work effectually from the inside out, where they wouldn't even need to pick up, even look at the Bible to be able to give you the verses. And not just some would say, well, they have a holy walk about them, because we know that there's some can have an appearance of godliness. But how you put the power of God on display is by walking in the Spirit. As Galatians 5:25 said, about living in the Spirit and walking in the Spirit. And verse 26 says, let us not be desirous of vain glory. Because that's what you have a lot of people doing today. They display vain glory. And with that, come back to Romans chapter 8. We're going to look at verse 17 here. And what we're doing at the outset, we're just covering, going over a few things about the first two verses there, but we're going to go a little more depth in it in the next few weeks there. Romans chapter 8, verses 16 and 17 again. Romans 8, 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Now, in looking at this here, what I'm after here is verse 17 here. And Paul said that we are children of God. Then he said, well, if children, then heirs of God. Now I'm going to stop there. There's a comma there. We went over the fact that we are heirs of God because we've been justified by him. And we can't lose that salvation or justification standing in the sight of the just one. We are righteous in his sight. Now, when you get here, it says, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Now, I've heard this taught many times where people will say, well, because we are justified, we're also a joint heir with Christ. If so be we suffer with him, and that also includes, that's talking about the same thing. Well, we are a joint heir with Christ in the term of being justified. We are of the same household of God. But this, when this is saying we're joint heirs with Christ, if so be we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together, this joint heirness is conditional. And I've heard some say that that's not the case. And some have even taught that anyone that teaches this is causing a divide in the body of Christ. I've heard them say that many times. But for those that have said that, they don't understand, and I pray that they do understand that the what the adoption of sons is all about. They don't have a grasp of what the issue of sonship is really entailing here. And they're content with not wanting to be what God called them to be in Christ. And when Paul talks about being a joint heir with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, it's not saying suffer for him, but suffer with him. Because not only is God the Father being long-suffering in heavenly places, the Son also is suffering. There is a suffering still taking place today. And we also are ones who are entrusted with his word as ambassadors. And this is why you're told here in Romans chapter 8, Paul tells you about your son. The next thing he tells you in verse 18 is that about the sufferings of this present time. He explains to you that you're going to suffer. And in verse 18, he says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Why would Paul tell us about the sufferings of this present time when he tells us we have an adoption and we're joint heirs with Christ? Because if the head is going to suffer, so is the other members, whether they're the toe or the hand or whatever the situation. We all are going to suffer with him that we may be glorified together. And let's look at that. Come back to Romans chapter 6, and we're going to see what all that centers around and what Paul means, because that was explained to us two chapters earlier. Let's come to Romans chapter 6, and let's look at verse 3. Romans chapter 6, verse 3. "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Now, what we went over when we looked at Romans 6, we seen that we have an identification with Christ. We are identified with him. We have what he has. And because he is the Redeemer, we looked at that Redeemer mandate. We went over the book of Ruth, and we looked at him being that kinsman Redeemer and what the cross accomplished, not only for our justification, but also for our sanctification, that a Redeemer takes on whatever predicament that you have. And we are associated with him. And as you see here, we are baptized into his death, therefore we are baptized, we are buried with him. Notice, we're buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ, notice, when it says that like as Christ, that's an identification. We are looked upon as Christ by the Father. And like Romans 6, verse 4, it says, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the what? The glory of the Father. Even so, we also should walk in newness of life. You notice it says we also, based upon the fact that Jesus Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. That's an identification. We also are going to, we also have that glory. That shows that likeness that we bring, that glory we can bring unto the Father. Even so, we also should walk in newness of life. And that's the whole issue of us being glorified together. In Romans 8, verse 17, Now come back there, and we're going to Romans 8, verse 17, once again. And as Paul says here, he says, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. And that's going to be the issue there, that when you are allowing God's word to effectually work within you, and you're being led by the Spirit, you're going to understand some things that you're going to suffer. You're going to go through the sufferings of this present time one way or the other, whether you want to have the proper understanding as a son and daughter in Christ about your sufferings, or whether you're just going to go through them based upon what this world says and assume that you're going through the sufferings of the present time because it's a test, or because maybe you didn't pay enough tithes, or maybe God's giving you for something, or whatever the issue could be. But you need to understand, God wants you to have that proper understanding about his word. What he wants to do is take sons and daughters that can take on his business, that can be ones that, if you have a father that or a mother that has a business, and just say if they have a business, just say at IBM, and they have 10 children, they want one of those children, or if not all of them, to be able to take over the family business. And they're going to want to teach the one son or daughter or all or whatever the situation is to understand how to run that business, how to love and run the business the same way that the parent does, have that same thinking, have the same goals, have the same love or aspirations as the parent does. And not only just that, but not to go after what the competition has going out there. Understand what the competition is and just say if it's Microsoft or whatever the issue is of the competing competition out there, and not going after that, or understand what their goal is to try to thwart what your business is all about. And that's what the Father does with us. He wants us to understand why we are adopted. And not just heirs, but the idea that, you know, that he wants us to be an adult son and daughter unto him, where you can take the training wheels off, where you can be more than just justified, where you can be one that can live on to him, whereas when you have his word, being an ambassador, when you're out there teaching his word, it would be just like if Paul was here teaching it, or Timothy, or any of the other saints that was a man of understanding. And it would be like father, like son, where God the Father can just say, in whatever situation you have, he could say, I would have done it the exact same way. Because we are taught in how we are to respond to the circumstances of this present time. We're taught how we are to respond and give answer to every man, how we are to let the word dwell within us richly. And again, when you're looking at Romans 8, verse 17 here, about being that joint heir with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him. Now, you can suffer without him, as I said at the outset. You know, and most do. Most do suffer without him because they're going to suffer regardless, but they're suffering, but they're using this world's methods and means to handle their sufferings, to just medicate it a little bit and smooth it over until the next one comes up. But when you have a proper understanding, you can do as Paul says in Romans chapter 8 and be more than a conqueror and say, I am persuaded that these things shall not separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Whatever situation you go through. Now, let's come over to when we're looking at this idea of being raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, and also in Romans 8 when it says that we may be also glorified together. Let's look at another issue about that. Let's come over to 2 Thessalonians. Come over to 2 Thessalonians and look at another issue about that glory and the glory of the Father, where that power is being put on display through us. You know, and we see all the time people in churches today that say they give praise, honor, and glory unto God by things they do in the church, whether it's plays or whatever they do for entertainment, and they feel that that's giving honor and glory unto God. But that's not what God's Word says. Those things that they do, whether it's miming, comedy shows, all these different things that their pastor told them brings honor and glory unto the Father. That's not what the Word says. What they are doing is called vain glory. Now let's come to 2 Thessalonians. Let's look at chapter 1. Chapter 1, let's come down to verse 10. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints, and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore, also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of his calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you see, he's talking about the issue of when Christ is going to come, at the idea of us being caught up, the rapture. And he said to be glorified in his saints. And that's what's going to happen at that day. And to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you that our God will count you worthy of this calling to fulfill all good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. And see, it's all according to his good pleasure and the work of faith with power. The work of faith is what we're going to put in as sons, working with him. Notice it says work of faith with power. And some would say they display that, but they do it in an issue of what they think the power of God is all about. And there's many that put in work daily. They walk door to door. They give all their money. They do many things that they think is a work of faith and with power. But if it's not according to the good pleasure of his goodness and what he is doing today, then again, it's vain glory. Verse 12, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you notice the likeness there? You notice the glorified together aspect there? That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him. That's a likeness, that togetherness there. Because we are identified with him, you would notice a likeness. Now let's come back to Romans chapter 8 once again here. And let's look at this issue here again. Romans 8, verse 17. And what I want to do is, in the time we have here, is go over the issue here about the joint heir issue. Because I know, again, like I said at the outset, we being heirs of God is a settled issue. Our being justified, we are children of God. And when you liken that, you look at, again, as I said before, that when someone has a business and they have 10 children, not all the children are going to run the business. Not all of the children are going to gain that adoption to be brought up to say, where the father says, this is a time appointed of him, where he can say, this is my son in whom I am well pleased, or this is one that I want to bring in, and I feel that this one, as David was chosen among his brethren to be the one who God could use, could fully utilize. Because you have some children that would, even though they're heirs, they don't want to go after the father's business. When you have some people, just say a father that they say if he's a mortician, for instance, that he owns a funeral home. Not all his children are going to go after that line of work. Or whether he's a farmer, whether he's whatever the issue. Not all of his children are going to want to go into the father's business. And you have some in the body of Christ, even though they are heirs, do not want to go into the father's business, do not want to put the work in. They want to be content with just being justified. They're content with saying, well, I'm too young, I'm not ready yet to get involved with this. Maybe I'll put these things off before I get involved, or they say, I'm too old. I'm too old to be edified or learn anything new. Now, that is the thinking with most. And that's because they don't have the desire. And the main reason is because they don't understand what this all means to the Father. What this adoption means unto him, that we become what he has called us to be. That is, to be conformed to the image of his Son. And let's look at that. Let's come over to Romans chapter 8. Let's look at verse 28. Romans 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also what? Glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spareth not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Now, didn't you see in verse 28, it says, we know all things work together for good to them that love God. And many will say they love God, and they love God because they're justified. They see what he accomplished for them. But what you're being shown here is that, you got to remember, this is all written down in the midst of a suffering message. This is all in the midst of showing you that you're not going to be delivered from your sufferings. And this is all written down in the midst of Paul explaining to you that when you do suffer, and you will, that you're to be more than a conqueror. You're to have this thinking that you are to be persuaded. You are to know that God is for you. Why? Because of all these provisions that he made for you. because he predestinated you. He called you. He foreknew you. He justified you, and he also glorified you. And we've seen this, that we be glorified together concept there. And again, as I said before, most won't go into their father's business. They don't want to take on the adoption and all it entails because of their thinking that God is going to just take these things away. He's going to keep on giving them baby food. They're going to be 20 years sitting in a high chair to keep getting to be fed milk and not want to take the training wheels off and do it on their own. And you know, we see that with our children. They can't wait till they're ready to drive or till they can get their own place, go to college. And they don't want their mother and father with them every step of the way. But, again, when it comes to God's word, many want God to take these things away from them or want God to lead them this way or lead them that way, to make decisions for them. When we are told that we are to allow God's word to work effectually within us that believe, and understanding it's for his purpose. It's for his will. It's for his sake, not ours. And when you're coming, let's come back to verse 17 here, Romans 8, verse 17, about the joint heir issue. Being a joint heir is not the same. Being a joint heir with Christ is not the same as being an heir of God. Because at that time when Christ walked the earth, there were many that became justified. If you look at the thief on the cross, he was justified based upon what he acknowledged, the fact that he was a sinner. And he justly deserved to be on that cross. And he knew that Jesus was the Messiah. And he had no need to be, he shouldn't have been there. Now that guy became justified without doing any sanctification, without putting in any work. And the issue with that is, it's the same thing today. You're going to have some, but we have many that don't want the adoption, or do not want to be a joint heir with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. But this is what we ought to want to endeavor to have, because we being ones that are justified, we have these five provisions that we see God has done for us, predestinated us, foreknew us, called us, justified us, glorified us. And based upon those things, we ought to know, like verse 31 says, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? That is what you're told to consider these things. And that's why Paul says, what shall we say to these things? He's asking you, he said, based upon what you see, what do you see? What do you say to those things? How do you view these things that I just put before you? You've been given all these good things by your Father. Now what do you say to those things? And then Paul says, if God be for us, who can be against us? That should be what a son would think when he sees all these things that are given unto him, regardless what he's going through. And then you're given in verse 32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And he's saying, he spared not his own son for you. This is what he did for you. And he gave his, if that doesn't tell you and show you that God's for you, and then he comes and says, how shall he not with him? Notice, with him. Remember we looked at the whole issue that we have that same likeness. And notice every time you see with him, suffering with him, there's work there. And some people think when they go to heaven, they're just going to go to retire. Or they feel, they don't understand that when you go to heaven, you're going to go to work. It says, how shall he not with him also? And the word also is because he was shown what Jesus had. Jesus was also given all things that delivered from the Father unto him. And we also are going to be given all things, but not in the authoritative role that Jesus Christ has. But we also are going to reign as being ones, as Ephesians chapter 4 speaks of that vocation, and Ephesians chapter 1 talks about that, that filleth all in all, and those principalities, powers, mights, thrones, and dominions, that we are going to occupy those positions in heavenly places. But not all are going to be ones who are going to be of ones that are going to glory like others. And what I mean, and I don't mean to say it in the sense of saying that God is going to prefer one saints over the other, but when you see the words, when you see the titles of principalities, powers, mights, thrones, and dominions, those are positions, or seats, if you will, that are going to be given unto the saints. And they're going to be given unto the saints based upon a service, as Paul says. And we can see that. Let's take a look at that. Let's come over to 1 Corinthians. Come over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 here. And let's look at verse 10. Well, actually, let's look at verse 8. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. Every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. And you notice, for ye are laborers together with God, not for God, but with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another build thereon. And that's what we're to do. We're to build up thereon to following Paul as he follows Christ. And it says, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For no other foundation can no man lay other than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man built upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work, whatever sort it is. If any man abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? And you notice what it says here, that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? And he's talking about that sanctifying issue there. And verse 17, if any man defile the temple of God, and that's the body, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Now when it says him shall God destroy, it's not talking about destroy you from being in the kingdom of God. We already looked at the fact that once you trust in in the gospel, you are an heir. This is talking about, as we've seen here, about that suffering loss and that by fire and things like that, burnt up by fire and all that. That's also talking about a functional issue here where it's not talking about your actual justification. It says, let no man deceive himself. If any among you seemeth to be wise in the world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. And he's explaining that you ought not to do foolish things. You ought to live by the Spirit. And as you've seen here, it says that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you, and your body is the temple of God. And being the temple, God's word ought to dwell in you. And that's not the way it's going to be with some believers, but that's the way God would have it. And based upon that, you see that there's a reward. There's a reward for your labor. It says, but let every man take heed how he buildeth. When you're building something, that's a work. It buildeth thereon. Now let's come back to Romans chapter 8 again. And again, in saying that, you're looking at about this whole issue of how we ought to want to live unto him, how we ought to want to be led by the Spirit, being ones that are a joint heir with Christ, and being ones that are glorified together with him because we suffer with him. And we're going to suffer, but it's the idea of having that thinking, or as Paul would say, Paul said he gloried in his sufferings. Paul even came along and said, I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. And again, that's something many could not say. Many would think that you've lost your mind if you said you are exceeding joyful in all your tribulation. But again, Paul was operating upon doctrine that he learned. Like he said over Philippians, that I've learned to be, Philippians chapter 4, I've learned to be, to abase and to abound. I've learned to be content in whatsoever state I am in. Because Paul also learned about that sanctifying doctrine when he suffered and when he went through the things that he went through as an ambassador and an apostle unto us. And he's our example and example. Well, with that, I'm going to close, and I'm open things up for the Q&A session. And *61 will get you into the queue. *61 will get you into the queue. And again, when we're looking at this whole issue of Romans chapter 8, the whole issue of sonship, this is something that again, that some I've heard, they even had a conference about it, that they said that ones who teach this issue are causing a divide in the body of Christ. And again, that could be so far from the truth for someone to because not understanding what the whole issue is about, to make a statement like that. And what's happening when that's being said is you're causing other saints in the grace movement to actually have their edification instead of being a movement to just stall with no edification taking place, with keep going over the same doctrines about justification or just right division matters, whereas they're talking about baptism or you're not supposed to tithe or speak in tongues or because we're not Israel. But that's not all God wants you to learn as a saint. And he wants you to be a son and daughter unto him, to know the why he's done what he has done in calling you to be who he has called you to be and conforming you to the image of his son. Now, with that, I'm going to go to the first caller here, 3366. You're in the queue.
Praise the Lord, Pastor Ron.
Hey, praise the Lord. How you doing there?
I'm good. When you think about when God told Satan, he said, Satan, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall I serve. If God said you can do it, guess what? You can do it. Because it's already been written.
That's right. That is right.
And I think
that is right.
The problem with the body of Christ is they take his word very lightly, that it's something they need to do. It's already done. You just need to walk in it.
That's right. Amen. That's right. That is right. And as you said about it being already written, you know, and you liken that over there to what Paul says here when he says the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. And again, as you said, it is already written, and we have that bearing witness, the confirmation there. And most, as you said, they don't want to put the work in, or some say the skin in the game, where they feel that they're just content. They're content to keep doing what they're doing, and they feel that they know what they know, and they're just content to just go on to heavenly places. But that's not how
the problem with serving, being a son of God is that, you know, it's nothing to do. I mean, he did it all. He paid it all. It's basically
right.
You just need to walk in it. In the religious world, we had to work for our sanctification. We had to do something. Over here, you just rest in Jesus. He does it all.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a difference. It is a difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's what it's already been done. True enough there. You know, that's why there's a beseeching. That's why at the outset it says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. It's not a fear-motivated thing. So ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And again, some don't have to be led by the Spirit of God. But they ought to. It's something that they ought to do if they want to be joint heirs with Christ, suffering with him in those things. So, yeah, you're right, though. It's already finished work, but we also ought to do work also ourselves, not just be content to stand pat, just being justified.
But it's the Holy Spirit that moves and has his being within me. I don't have to do anything. I just need to obey his word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Because the world believes you have to do something. And the apostolic church that I was raised up in, it was all about us doing it. Or if we fail, we ran to the bishop every 6 months or every so many months to get prayer to be back in fellowship. Over here, you're in fellowship. You're staying there. You're not going anywhere outside the fellowship.
That's right.
And there's nothing you can do to sit yourself outside the fellowship.
Yeah.
You can lose more, but you can't stop the fellowship.
Amen. Amen.
And that's where I think where with the saints of God is that I think they almost think that they can step out of the fellowship. You're in there. You're sealed to the day of redemption.
That's right. And like we looked at that verse, Galatians chapter 5, when it talks about it's one that can't inherit the kingdom of God. But when you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, when it gives you the ones that know you not, the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God, and then it says, as such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified. This is by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. That's the issues there. That's talking about you can't lose your salvation. You are justified. You are washed. Those things don't apply to your account or apply to you because you are sealed unto the day of redemption.
And he will present every man perfect in Christ Jesus.
That's right.
And I think if everybody would just focus on what the word says instead of focusing on what they see in the religious world, you know, their walk with God would be much brighter and much easier and much relaxing instead of focusing on the religious world.
That's right.
Well, pray for me, and I'll keep you in prayer.
All right. Thank you, and I will. I will. And I appreciate your comment, as always.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sister Janice. Appreciate
Bye-bye.
It. Bye. Okay. Yeah, *61 will get you into the queue. *61 will get you into the queue. And again, these are things that we ought to come to understand about how we ought to want to labor with our Father, labor with Christ, and labor with our Father, as we've seen the scriptures point out how we ought to, and that we are, that we may be also glorified with him, and also glorified together, as it says. And that's what happens. There's a glorifying together with Christ. But again, this is all about us wanting to seek his word and his wisdom as silver, as the Proverbs say, that we also may be conformed to the image of his son. Well, with that, I'm going to close. And